This week's mailbag comes to us from Diane on Facebook. I am so thankful for Lisa Woodruff right now. We just had a tornado warning. I gathered my children, pets, USB sticks, and my binders, and we headed to the basement. Thankful, all is clear, and we are now safe. I keep thinking I really need to get these binders finished. I cannot wait for the paper organizing retreat. Thank you, Diane. Do you have an Organize 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organize365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. We're getting to the end of 2019, and 2020 is going to be your best year ever. I'm so excited for you. And one of the things I want you to think about as we come to the end of 2019 is, what are you tolerating? Specifically, what are you tolerating in your physical space? What are you tolerating in your family dynamics? What are you tolerating in your emotional relationships? And what are you tolerating in how you spend your free time? We're going to unpack all four of those in today's podcast. Tolerating. It's such an interesting word, isn't it? Like, I'm not talking about decluttering or managing or maintaining or delegating or eliminating. What are you tolerating? It's totally different. It's stuff that's actually going on around you, and we're going to make a decision about what we will tolerate and what we will no longer tolerate. It's kind of like decluttering without any physical removing of anything. So let's dive into the easiest one of, what are you tolerating in your physical space? Years ago, I cannot remember where I originally heard this, but someone said that you should once a year walk through your house as if you were going to list it for sale. So I grab a legal pad. I've done this a couple of times. I start at the front door, and you walk through your entire house writing down what would need to be upgraded, fixed up, fixed in order to put your house on the market. And you make a big long list in your physical space, on every floor, in every room. I will tell you right now, if we were going to list our house on the market, I would have to replace every single doorknob in this entire, what happens after 30 years? Doorknobs just stop working on bedroom doors? I don't understand. Bedroom doors, closet doors, basement door, all the doorknobs are loose now. And putting a new doorknob on really doesn't help, because then the door has been painted so many times. Anyway, doors, doorknobs, they're a big thing for, I'm tolerating them. I'm tolerating doors and doorknobs. And I'm not going to replace them all this year, but I could tell you right now, I am definitely tolerating that. Another thing that I'm tolerating is that my living room is too dark. We have lived here for 24 years, and we rarely sit in the living room because, I don't know, it's a living room, but also because it's so dark in there. During the day, it's fine when the sun is coming in, but there's not good lighting. And there is an access box in the ceiling in order to hang a light in there. And it is on my list to get a nice light in our living room that would drop down and add a lot of light in that whole part of our house. So I'm tolerating the fact that there is not enough light in our living room. About 7 years ago, I remember this because it was such a big deal. The first time I heard this message from someone about, what are you tolerating? What I was tolerating was burned out light bulbs. In every single room of my house, there were multiple burned out light bulbs. In some rooms, only one light bulb was still working. But I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, doing professional organizing, working on the blog, taking care of the kids, driving 25 hours a week, trying to cook and from scratch. Like, I was trying to do all of the things. And I would go, oh, the lights are burned out. Oh, the lights are burned out. I heard this message of, what are you tolerating? And I literally went to the grocery store and I bought tons of light bulbs. And I spent, I think it was over an hour, going into every single room of the house and replacing every single burned out light bulb. And every room had multiple burned out light bulbs. I just recently did this in our bathroom vanity. We have 1980s light fixtures, you know, those Hollywood lights that are round still. We haven't redone our bathroom. And so they kept burning out. And I didn't have any round Hollywood lights around my house. So we got down to where there were two dim light bulbs above Greg's sink and like one or two above mine. I was like, this is ridiculous. I am buying new light bulbs. And it took 10 light bulbs and I got white frosted day light bulbs and I replaced them in Abby's bathroom as well. I ordered so many packages of light bulbs and then I went to turn on the lights the next morning. It was like, ah, so sunny. Greg's like, okay, dim the lights. I'm like, they are dimmed. That's how many lights were burned out. And our light bulbs were so old, they were barely giving off any light whatsoever. Maybe that's why my makeup is looking better, you guys, because I actually have light in my bathroom. These are all of the things that we are constantly tolerating. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to change that. Oh, I need to, you know, right? And as you are getting your house more organized and there are less spaces that need to be physically decluttered and your maintenance becomes easier, then I would love for you to replace the time that you used to spend doing the 15 minute a day challenges, especially if you've already been through the 100 day program three times. Now I want you to start looking at what are you tolerating? What in this room really needs to be fixed or replaced? I'll tell you another thing I'm tolerating right now is our living room furniture, which is 23 years old. And Hunter actually made a hole in one of the chairs. How embarrassing is that? And my mother-in-law has decided she's coming here for Christmas. And I was so excited about it until I realized we do Christmas in the living room with 23-year-old furniture that has a hole in it. And in order for Hunter to stop scratching at the chair, I put packing tape on the hole, you guys. Maybe not as bad as duct tape, but there is packing tape on my living room chair. And I'm like, man, I can't afford to go out and buy new living room furniture. And even if I could, it won't get delivered in time for Christmas. So what am I going to do about that? I'm not really sure what I'm going to do about that. We might actually have Christmas in the family room just because I'm so embarrassed about my living room furniture. Literally has holes in it. So that I'm tolerating, but I don't have the money or the resources to fix it yet. Same with the doorknobs and the doors. Really don't have the money or the resources to fix those yet. But the light, hanging the light in the living room, that won't be as expensive or take as long. So I'll probably get that done in January or February. Just because you're making a list of what you're tolerating doesn't mean that you're going to turn around and buy every single thing and fix everything on your list. So first, walk through your house as if you were selling it. What are all of the things that are broken or need maintenance? I have this ongoing list in my Sunday basket in a slash pocket. So whenever we have extra time, extra money, or I'm really into doing something around the house, I will go and I will consult that list. And the reason why I do it, you might think, oh, I don't want to see in a list all the things that I would need to fix in my house. Over the last few years, we've been able to fix almost everything that was on my list for over a decade that I couldn't afford the time or the money to fix. We've been able to fix almost everything. And what was nice about having that list was if I wanted to go out and, I don't know, buy a new blah, 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 because I just saw it advertised somewhere, when I went and looked at that list, I was able to see that there were more urgent, bigger needs that I had been putting off for years, but I had forgotten about. Like windows. We needed windows and new doors. So we did that and we put that on a payment plan instead of going and getting new furniture or something fun that would have been less expensive that I wanted to do in the moment. So making your tolerating list for your physical house will also give you some ideas for how to spend the money when you do have the money as well. All right, number two, another area that you are tolerating. This one's not going to cost any money. But it's a big one. What are you tolerating in your family dynamics? Now I'm going to use the same party line that I use when it comes to home organization. You can only change you. You cannot change your spouse. You cannot change your children. You cannot change your mother. You cannot change your siblings. You cannot change your aunts. You cannot change your... There are lots of things that you cannot change, but you can change you. So when you look at the family dynamics that are playing out in your household every day, what are you tolerating that you don't like? And what can you do to change that family dynamic or remove yourself from the situation? I, in I can't tell any stories, right? Like I'm sitting there going, nope, can't tell that story. Nope, can't tell that story. All right, so I would say the first thing that I did in tolerating family dynamics is, number one, becoming aware of them and your role within them. So if you have multiple people start arguing and you're making your case, I no longer do that anymore. I'm a very type A talkative person. So if we're talking about anything, I always have an opinion and I'm going to tell you about it because I always have an opinion and I'm type A and an extrovert. So I like to impart my wisdom and knowledge on people. However, if you're in a discussion and people are not going to change their mind, do you really need to voice your opinion? This was very hard for me to learn, but in many family dynamic situations now, I just say nothing. On vacation, with any of our family members, at home, often if there is a discussion ensuing that becomes a disagreement, I will literally sit there and say absolutely nothing. Because what I have found is no matter what I say, my talking causes everyone else to up their volume and make their case more arduently. Maybe because of how I conditioned everyone. Probably. They're like, well, we have to get louder so that mom, you know, doesn't railroad our ideas. Especially as you're living with young adults who are coming up with their own thoughts and their own ways that they want to live their life. Like, everybody doesn't have to do what I do. They can have their own thoughts, opinions, and feelings. Doesn't mean I have to do them as well. Like, I can just listen. I don't have to have an opinion. I don't have to be a parent. I don't have to judge. This has made our conversations so much more free-flowing. I know so much more about my kids because I'm not constantly telling them what I did when I was a kid or what I would do if I was them or whatever. They're becoming young adults, and I kind of want to hear what they're thinking so that when I do need to step in and say something or say, oh, that's interesting that you think that way. Do you want to hear what my opinion is or how I came to that decision in my own life? Sometimes they say no. And that's fine. And sometimes they say yes, and then I get to offer my opinion, and they may or may not agree with me after that. So arguing, that's number one, family dynamics. Are you playing a part? And eventually, after I'm quiet long enough, I'll get up and I'll do the dishes if it's a meal, or I'll just leave the room. I'll be like, I'm going to go start my bath and do my puzzle. And I leave the room. You cannot get other people to see your side or change their mind if they don't want to, and if they're not receptive. So are you in some situations with family dynamics? Oh yeah, we're totally talking about this around the holidays. Are there some times when it would be better just to be quiet? They know what you think. You think your family doesn't know what you, they know. They know. So why entertain the arguing? You can eliminate a lot by just not saying anything. Which leads to the second thing that I've noticed in family dynamics. In our nuclear family, in each of our extended families, and in any situation you're in, with your friends, with your coworkers, whatever, there are these repetitive conversations that happen over and over and over again. Oh, that's Susie, and Susie's always going to talk about her dog. Yes, I do talk about Hunter a lot. That's Paula, and Paula is always going to talk about whatever. Like, you know the conversations that people are always going to start, or the repetitive things. Greg is always going to tell me what the weather is. He goes, do you know what the weather is? I was like, no, tell me. I don't have to look at a weather app. He will always tell me what the weather is going to be, which is great, actually, because I don't ever have to look at the weather app. But people have repetitive patterns of what they like to talk about. I like to talk about big ideas and new things and what's going on. It's not the normal train of conversation. So I have learned a couple of conversation starters that will move the different groups of people that I'm in from the repetitive conversations that they have every time we meet, the same stories they tell every time, into more interesting and new conversations, because that excites me to find out, like, what's the latest thing you have going on, or what is your child doing, blah, blah, blah. So starting different conversation starters to have different conversations with the family members you're always with, I was tolerating repetitive conversations, and I have now found a way to come up with more interesting and dynamic conversations that I like to participate in. We're going to move on to what are you tolerating in your emotional relationship. So if you listen to the family dynamics, I was talking about, like, repetitive conversations that go on over and over again, or arguing, you know, those conflicts that happen. But let's talk about emotionally. What are you emotionally tolerating in your relationships? I think this is different because like, your nuclear family is going to be your nuclear family in the kitchen in the evening, right? So you're not going to not have your nuclear family there, or you're not going to not go to Thanksgiving because people have repetitive conversations, right? But emotional relationships, when you're stressed, when you're worried, when you're bored, how do you reach out to solve that emotional relationship? And for me, it's been three different ways. One used to be phone calls. I would call certain people and I would talk to them on the phone for a long time. And that was like my emotional release. That wasn't a bad one. Just nobody talks on the phone like that anymore. The second one, which I am not proud to admit, probably from 2005 to 2013, maybe, I got a lot of my emotional relationships through gossiping. Like, oh, did you hear this? What did we do? Oh my goodness. I don't think it's an accident that that's also when social media happened. But just, you know, I was home with babies and driving and, you know, just like, oh, did you hear this? Oh my gosh, can you believe this company did that? And I tended to get in a lot of gossipy type situations, or conversations with certain friends would always start out, you would not believe, oh my gosh, did you hear? Could be that I was in a lot of direct sales companies at that time as well. It was like, oh, what's that company doing? Oh, what's that person doing? I'm not proud of this decade in my life, but I definitely was in it. And I'm not that way at all anymore. As a matter of fact, somebody said to me the other day, they were like, oh, I was going to tell you this, but I didn't think you'd like it because it's kind of gossipy. And I was like, yes, I have overcome this emotional thing I used to tolerate so much that people won't even share it with me. That is amazing. So what are you tolerating in your emotional relationships? How do you connect with people? Do you connect with people through gossip? Do you connect with people through long conversations? What is your, like, hey, Sally, what do you say next? Like, what is the thrust of the conversation? What keeps you on the phone or in the conversation longer? And the last one for emotional, what are you tolerating in emotional? I have down social media, because a lot of us are not having hour-long conversations on the phone anymore, or even doing gossiping that kind of way, unless you're standing at the bus stop and, you know, you'll break into those kind of conversations. For me, most of my emotional relationships are happening on social media. Okay, that was weirder to say out loud than I realized it would be. But like, so what are you tolerating in your social media, which is kind of how we connect with each other emotionally? So I'm not really on Facebook anymore, mostly because Facebook thinks that I'm a robot. And anytime I try to like more than three comments in a row, it kicks me off the platform for 24 hours. And then I have fear that I'm not going to be able to go into my groups and do the lives like I'm supposed to do on Tuesdays. So I don't like any posts anymore. I used to like every single comment you guys put in the Organize 365 group. Every single one. And read every single one. And the other reason why I'm not on Facebook is that I primarily use Facebook just for my groups. But when I go into the Facebook feed, now my groups are not this way, but when I go into the Facebook feed, it's sad and it's stressful. And it's my pledge to you is I will not be political this year. I mean, I know it's already starting. I will vote. I have an opinion. You don't need to know it. Like, you know who you want to vote for, right? Like, I'm not going to change your mind. The only thing that would happen if I started talking about politics is 50% of my audience would stop following Organize 365. And I love everyone in the Organize 365 audience. I don't care who you're voting for president. Like, somebody's going to get elected. That person's going to run the country for 4 years. And then somebody different will get elected next. End of story. That's how much control I have over that whole thing. So why would I alienate 50% of my best friends, which is you guys, by talking about politics? Like, it's not a win-win. I only like win-wins, and that for me is not a win-win because I'm not running for political office. If I was running for political office, it would be different. No, I'm not going to run for political office. So I'm not on Facebook because it's political and it's sad and it's share this thing. And I just, when I watch it, I notice my energy drain. I start to get stressed out. I feel like I need to defend myself. So I go over to Instagram. I like Instagram. Everything's pretty over there. Everybody's nice. There are fun memes. I love watching Insta stories. Okay, this is my new latest fun thing. You know, I take a bath every night. So I'll sit there and I'm a completist. Like, I have to complete things. So I have to watch all the Insta stories in my feed. And social media marketers will say, you know, when you post something on Facebook or Instagram, only a certain percentage of people see it. I'm like, well, I see every single thing everybody I follow has posted because I only follow 100 people. And of those 100 people, only 20 of them are posting. So I can get through 20 posts and Insta stories every single day. This is my latest fun thing. If you're on Insta stories and you play one, it will just scroll to the next one and the next one and the next one. So now, instead of watching TV or whatever when I take my bath, I prop my phone up and I start the Insta stories and I basically have a curated TV show for me of all the people I follow on Instagram. And I just go from one Insta story to the next, to the next, to the next. And by the time they're done, I'm done with my bath and I move on. Just letting you know how I task stack some things. So I love social media. I love the people that I'm following on Instagram. I don't follow very many people. I follow them for different reasons. I follow all my family members, in case you're wondering who those people are that I'm following. Those are all my family members and cousins and all of that. I love to see when they post their babies. And then I follow select social media profiles of other business owners where I am primarily watching what they're doing in social media and I'm watching how they're marketing and selling so I can become a better business owner. That's who I follow. And I have decided that I really like LinkedIn. This is a new thing. So I have the LinkedIn app and I connect with people on LinkedIn and I use LinkedIn for business, kind of. But lately, in the last couple weeks, I've started scrolling through the LinkedIn feed. It's really interesting to me and it's very thought-provoking. And I really, all of a sudden, like now I notice in my notifications that they give you the LinkedIn daily briefing or something like that. And I scroll through those articles. I think I'm growing up. So I was so overwhelmed with negative emotional relationships and all of these things. I cut myself off from everything. I don't listen to advertisements. I TiVo or watch everything on Netflix, so I don't see any commercials. I listen to podcasts instead of radio. I don't hear any of those commercials. I took off of my iPhone. Like if you swipe left, you could see the news of the day. I deleted that app, so I can't see the news of the day. I don't look at the newspaper, even though Greg gets it. I don't watch the news. So I'm like in my own little bubble. Literally, if anything good or bad happens, Greg has to tell me. Well, it's on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook. It rarely makes it to the Instagram feed. I literally know nothing. But when I started watching this LinkedIn news, that's very interesting to me. Like the CEO of this company did this, or did you know that the buying trend is this? I was like, wow, this is really interesting to me. And Greg said, yeah, because it's business related. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. It's business related. So I think I'm going to press into LinkedIn in 2020. Share more on LinkedIn, communicate more on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is going to become my new social media. And then I'm building emotional relationships with other business owners, which really excites me. So as number three, what are you tolerating in your emotional relationships? How you're starting conversations, why you want to get in conversations, what kind of social media you're on, and how they make you feel when you're on there. And then the last one is, how are you spending your free time? This is becoming a major issue inside of the Organize 365 community because many, many, many of you have Sunday baskets. And a lot of you have also finished the 100-day program and even your paper, and you, like me, have a ridiculous amount of free time. If it's not you, then get a Sunday basket, join the 100-day program, and then you'll be with us. And you will have all of this time. And the problem with all of this time that you have, which I talked to you about in the last a couple podcasts ago when I talked about note cards, is when you don't have a to-do list to go to fill your time. And now you're like, oh, you're right. I don't really need to be on Facebook anymore. Or you set a timer and you're only on Facebook for 15 minutes instead of an hour and a half. What do you do with your free time? And my question specifically to you is, what are you tolerating with how you spend your free time? Because while I know everybody feels like they don't have any more time, we have more time than we think. And you're probably spending more of it in self-numbing activities like scrolling on Instagram than proactive activities like reading or calling your mom or something like that. So what are you tolerating? Are you tolerating scrolling? And what do you like to do? That's the bigger question. If you maybe like me have become so conditioned to working from this to-do list, every minute you're home that you don't have something to do, you're checking Instagram, you're checking Facebook, and you're checking your to-do list, that you're not giving yourself any space to spend free time doing something else. taking a walk, reading a book. The other day, I went to a local museum that is 2 miles from my house and spent 3 hours there. I cannot believe that I've never been in there. It's Voice of America, and they broadcast to the troops in the middle of World War II. It was amazing. It's totally amazing. I've driven by that for 24 years, never went in because I was too busy. And that day, I was like, you know what? I'm really not too busy. And it's open. It's only open 3 hours every weekend. I was like, it's open, and I'm not busy. I'm going to go in there. The problem is when we have actual free time, we don't know what to do. It's so uncomfortable. We don't know what nobody else has free time. They're always saying they're so busy too. I couldn't possibly have free time. I couldn't have time to read a whole book today. A lot of times I do that. Or to go on a field trip for myself and homeschool myself, which I'm now doing, by the way. I'm going to just homeschool myself. I'm excited about it. We don't know what we like to do. I don't know what I like to do. Puzzles and reading. You guys, there are a lot of books. I do consume a lot of books, but Greg has free time too, and he's getting bored also. This is our conversation each weekend now. It's like, hey, well, the kids are pretty much raised and the house is clean and organized. What are we going to do with our free time? How are we going to fill our free time? And we often just default to watching TV, going out to dinner, you know, the things that we've always done. I want to be more purposeful in 2020 with my free time and doing what I want to do with it versus just defaulting to what I've always done. So I'm no longer going to tolerate just random free time activities. All right. 4 questions. I know it's deep. Sorry. But, maybe you have some holiday drives coming up. You could think about these. What are you tolerating in your physical space? Go ahead, write it all down. If you were going to sell the house tomorrow, what are the things you would have to fix in order to move? And my father always said, fix those things as soon as possible, because you're going to fix them if you're going to move anyway, and you might as well enjoy the benefit of having them fixed up. Number 2, what are you tolerating in your family dynamics? Sorry, but you're going to notice it now because I mentioned it. Sorry, not sorry. You're going to have a lot of family activities in the next couple weeks. I want you to notice what you're tolerating, and then what is your role in that, and how can you change your role? Number 3, your emotional relationships. How are you filling your cup? Is it healthy? Is the social media, the conversations you're having, and the amount of conversations and the people you're talking to healthy? Or do there need to be a few changes there? And last, how are you spending your free time? What are you tolerating? Are you tolerating that you're so stressed out, you're just going to scroll social media and have your hot bath and watch 3 hours of TV and go to bed? Because it's a lot of free time. Or do you want to spend that time doing something else? Whatever it is, what do you like? Let's figure out what we like in 2020 and get more of that.